Tonight, we review The Boy, where a doll who is also a man wants to become a real boy. But there is no blue fairy in town, and his conscience is a dead rat. Join us on Scarcely Scary. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Scarcely Scary. My name is Emily.
My name is Joshua.
Hello again. Thank you for coming back.
Yeah, thank you for clicking on our link today.
It means so much to us.
Today is a good day.
Today, it is morning this time.
Yes, good morning, everybody. So.
That's not when we're going to upload it, though.
No. So if this is your first time listening to this podcast, we search for modern-day horror films in an attempt to find one that's actually scary.
Yeah. We feel like the modern-day horror movies today aren't actually scary enough, so we like to watch some of the crappy ones and make fun of them.
Yeah, we're not horror buffs.
No, we're not.
We don't really know what goes into making a film or anything. We're average horror film watchers.
Yeah, just like you guys, we like to think.
Yeah.
We don't know much about it, we just know that we like to get scared from time to time.
Or sit and make fun of a movie and laugh the entire time, too.
Yeah, we do both. So, if you are new to this podcast, we want to warn you that there are spoilers.
Yes, we go over the whole film and we discuss it.
Yep, twists and turns and deaths and everything.
Yep, so if you would like to watch this film before we ruin it, you can go ahead and watch The Boy. It's available on Netflix currently.
Mm-hmm. And if you're interested in listening to next week's episode and following along with us, we will announce next week's movie at the end of this show.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. All right. That was a quick intro. Let's just get right into the movie. We watched The Boy. All right. So this movie came out in January of 2016, which it actually came out alongside last week's movie, Friend Request.
Yes.
I had no idea about that. It's directed by William Brent Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Try saying that 10 times fast. Billy Brent Bell.
Bill Brent Bell?
Yeah. All right. It is, its cast includes Lauren Cohen, who you might know from The Walking Dead.
Yes, she is Maggie.
She's Maggie in The Walking Dead. It also has Rupert Evans and James Russell. And every week I like to try to find somebody in the movie who is connected to, like, the horror movie classics.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this week there was nobody in this film from anything. They're all fresh actors. They're all new. They're all way lesser known.
Yeah.
Except Lauren Cohen, who's only famous for The Walking Dead.
True. So she still is relatively new to the acting world, if that's the only role she's really had.
Right. So, yeah, unfortunately, we don't have anybody, no connections this week. But Netflix puts this movie under the horror movie genre, which right off the bat, I'm going to disagree with.
Yeah, it's a thriller. It's not so much a horror at all.
Its runtime is 97 minutes.
7 minutes too long.
And its budget is, okay, this is interesting. Its budget is $10 million.
Yeah.
It was $10 million, which, if you remember last episode, the budget for that movie was $9.9 million.
Friend Request?
Friend Request had a budget of $9.9 million, and that movie grossed 11-point-something million. This movie had the same budget, but returned $64.1 million.
Wow. That's a pretty good increase right there.
Yeah, that's a lot. This movie did, I guess, pretty well. And I have a fun fact about this movie. So this movie is supposed to take place in the UK, but it was actually filmed in Canada.
Yeah.
In British Columbia at a castle called Craig Derrick Castle. And it only took 1 month to film.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
I would like to say, I think the majority of the budget for this film went into renting the castle.
I would agree. Yeah, I probably did.
Because the film itself isn't very...
There's not a lot of CGI.
No. There's like one scene, maybe, of CGI, and it's pretty poorly done.
Yeah, and all the actors are pretty low listed.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie really does just star Lauren Cohen.
Lauren Cohen and friends.
So, Joshua, you have some Rotten Tomatoes for us again?
Yes, I do.
Hit me with the good ones.
All right. Well, first off, I will say that the critics' review on Rotten Tomatoes is 30%.
Okay.
I will start off with Carson, a 1.5 star review. He says, "Very underwhelming movie. Expected more, but got less. More of a joke than a legit horror film."
Oh, Carson.
Carson. Oh, if you thought that was bad, wait until the last one.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
Okay. Wait, this one is from Joshua. He gave it 2.5.
It you.
It me. No. Okay, Joshua C. says, "I mean, it's an okay film. It has every cliche in it. Dream sequences, jump scares, a scary doll. Yep, that's what Hollywood has become. I'll give the boy a D." I agree with Joshua. I'd say he said it pretty well.
Yeah, and that's the point.
And I'm
point.
Not being biased because his name's Joshua.
No, but that is the point of this podcast is
yes,
all these horror movies coming out are the same movie.
Yeah, scary doll, cliche.
They're not scary anymore.
Mm-mm.
They're not original. So, yeah, I would agree with that, Joshua. Good job. And good job to you, Joshua, for pulling up those Rotten Tomatoes.
Here's one more.
Oh, you've got another one.
This one destroys it. Okay, half a star from Sandra.
All right, Sandra, give it to me.
"This is a heaping pile of pig shit. Lauren, oh, if you ever read this, please take this film and shove it up your tight ass."
Oh!
Oh!
Shove it up your who? Your tight ass?
Your tight ass.
Sandra. Is that the end of it?
That's it.
Oh my god.
Half a star.
Brutal. Why did she hate it so much? Sandra, if you're out there, please email us at scarcelyscary@gmail.com and tell us why you hated this movie.
Yeah, this is a...
I gotta know.
That was a good review.
Who hurt you?
Who hurt you?
So with that, let's get into some statistics on this movie.
Yes, please.
So during this segment, we talk about the deaths, the jump scares, and the gore factor of this film. So starting off right off the bat, we counted 3 deaths.
Yeah, we counted 3 deaths. They happened slowly throughout the film.
Mm-hmm.
None of them were too crazy.
No, not too graphic. I also counted 7 jump scares, but there may have been less.
Yeah, or there may have been more attempted ones. I don't know. I honestly counted 3 jump scares. I wasn't scared too much by any...
I didn't... These aren't jump scares that scared us. They're just
attempted.
These are things that we see that we can tell the movie is trying to make the audience jump.
Yeah, I will say this movie didn't make me jump at all. It made me laugh.
I jumped once.
No, you jumped twice. I have it written in my notes.
Okay. Okay.
2 jumps for Emily. Okay.
I thought I only jumped once, but I'll trust your judgment on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to go to the gorometer. Is that what we decided to name it?
Yeah, it's the gorometer.
All right. We go into the gorometer. We have a 10 category comprehensive scale that we discuss after we watch the film. We give our movies a rating.
Yes.
Out of 100. So we gave this movie a 5.
5 on the gore list.
It's not, there's no, like, no blood. There's like a little bit of blood.
It's like the only blood is some rat's blood.
Yeah, supposedly.
In one scene.
Mm-hmm. It's a super, like, vanilla.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote scary movie.
It's safe for your kids.
Safe for children.
Like, it's not a scary movie really at all. That's why we say it's a thriller.
I would say the scariest part of this movie is the doll. For me personally, I think dolls are super creepy. I think ventriloquist dummies are worse. But yeah. This movie, if you're like afraid of dolls, I think this movie will kind of give you the creeps, but not too much.
Nah.
It's kind of a creepy, weepy movie. It's not too scary at all. It's not like Chucky, you know. The doll moves and it's walking towards you with a knife. It's nothing like that. All right, so let's start with the names of the characters. So we have our main character, Greta.
Yes.
We have Malcolm.
Yes, he's kind of like the grocery delivery boy.
Yeah, he is the grocery delivery boy.
Oh, yeah.
You have Mr. and Mrs. Heelshire. They are the owners of the house.
And the parents of...
Brahms.
The porcelain doll. Oh, yeah. Also, don't forget Cole.
Oh, yeah. I didn't write down Cole. Cole is the ex-boyfriend of Greta.
Yeah, he's kind of an abusive asshole. We'll get into that.
You didn't have to say that. Spoiler alert.
The whole review's a spoil, so let's get into
Good gravy. Okay, if you have never heard of this movie is about a babysitter who is hired to watch after these rich people's child while they're on vacation.
Yeah.
But it's a doll. Let's start with scene number one. Yep. Joshua, take it away.
Okay, so it starts off with Greta in a old-timey cab.
It's like a taxi.
She's being brought to this house, and it's like this big, beautiful storybook style.
It's a gorgeous mansion on top of a hill.
Yeah, so the first thing I notice she does is she takes her shoes off when she gets into the house. She's walking through this house. Nobody really let her in at all.
Mm-hmm.
She just opens the door, and she starts walking through, and she says...
She's calling out, "Is anybody there?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?"
She walks upstairs into what looks like a little boy's room.
Mm-hmm.
She's looking through this boy's toys.
Boy's toys.
And
sorry.
A dude comes up from behind her and is like, "Hey!" And then scares the shit out of her. She's like, "Ah!" Which is, I guess, a jump scare. I don't know.
I counted it as a jump scare.
Yeah, I did. Because
she's like intense on this like little toy playing with it. And then he's like, "Hello, who's there?"
No.
He doesn't sound like that.
No, not at all.
But,
so then it turns out it's Malcolm,
mm-hmm.
delivery guy. He just came by to drop off stuff, and he was also looking for the owners of the home, the Heelbergs.
Mm-hmm.
No, the Hillshires.
Hillshires.
He comes, so he's also there, and he sees her, and he's like, "Oh, so you're going to be the new babysitter."
Yeah, they're talking, and it's kind of like an awkward first-time conversation going on between them.
Yeah,
it's super uncomfortable to watch.
He's trying to flirt with her. She's not really picking up on it.
Yeah, and he's like, "I can read your future through your gum."
Yeah, she's chewing gum, and he's like, "Here, give me your chewing gum. I can read it."
Yeah, so she spits it into his hand, and he's like, "This line means you're gonna have a whatever. This line means you're gonna have a this."
He first guesses like, "Oh, so you're a writer trying to find inspiration abroad?"
Oh, he also is like, "You're from California." And she's like, "No, I'm from Montana."
And she gets all like weirdly offended. And then he's like, "Oh, so you're from..." Yeah. "So you're from Phoenix, Montana."
Yeah.
There's not a Phoenix, Montana. He's just...
Is there?
I don't think so. Because it's Phoenix, Arizona. I think he just doesn't know. Just like we don't know things about London.
Yeah, we know nothing about... As Americans, we are sheltered.
Yes.
So he's like, "Sorry, that's my attempt at flirting." Gross, because it's like...
"Here, let me hold your chewing gum."
That's so gross.
And then he says, "So, wait a minute. Are you running from a dark past, maybe?" That's what the chewing gum also says.
Yeah. And
then she gets weirdly quiet.
Greta's like, which I don't care about your dark past, Greta, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But it's obvious that, yes, she's running from a dark past.
Bring on the doll. That's all I care about.
Bring it on. So,
then Miss Heelshire walks in.
Yes.
Finally. Like, where the fuck have you been?
She just walks in and goes, "All right, follow me."
Yeah, she's immediately like, "Let's get to business. Where did you put your shoes?"
"You don't have to take your shoes off. Where the hell are your shoes? Put your shoes back on."
Yeah, and she goes over to where her where she left her shoes, and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Heelshire is like, "Oh, it was Brahms."
Yeah, Brahms likes to be playful.
Okay, from here on out, I don't want to do the British accent because it's terrible. Miss Heelshire says, "Oh, it's Brahms. He's playful. He probably took your shoes and hid them. He'll give them back to you later."
Yeah.
Miss Heelshire takes Greta into the sitting room,
mm-hmm.
where we also meet Mr. Heelshire.
Yes.
And we are introduced to Brahms.
Yeah.
Who's a doll in a chair.
Yeah, he's a doll sitting there. And Mrs. Heelshire walks up and goes, "It's okay, Brahms, this is..."
"Don't be shy."
"Don't be shy. This is Greta." And then Greta starts to laugh. Like, yeah. "Are you serious?"
Kind She's of like, "Ha ha ha, this is a joke."
Yeah.
"Good one."
And then the Heelshires look at her like, don't laugh at my son.
Like, yeah, they're looking at, like, as if you were to meet a child in real life and just start laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how that child's parents would look at you. That's how they look at Greta.
Yeah.
They look at her like, "What the fuck is wrong?"
Yeah, what are you laughing at?
What's going on? What's so funny?
I know.
So then Greta's kind of like, "This is a joke, right?" But, I mean, what can you expect? Your child is a doll.
Exactly.
Come on now.
So then the grocer boy walks Malcolm. In, and Malcolm, he walks up, and he's like, oh, hello, Brahms, and he walks in, and he shakes his hand.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you. Kind of like a clue, like, Greta, they think this is their kid. Like, hey.
Yeah, well, earlier, too, we forgot to mention, Greta asked Malcolm what the family is like, and he was just kind of like, hard to explain. Like, he had the opportunity to say, just so you know,
their kids
Bronze is a doll.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this, like, they're kind of wacko, so just, like, kind of go with it.
Yeah, instead of giving her the heads up, he let her totally embarrass herself.
Yeah, he should have, he really should have,
like, that is a
mentioned that.
Party foul right there.
So then, Mrs. H shows Greta around, and they do some training, like, how to dress Brahms and what he likes to do during the day, giving her the daily schedule.
Yeah, likes to listen to loud music.
Mm-hmm. They call it music appreciation for 3 hours.
Yes.
And there's this little small part where Mrs. H puts Brahms in a chair and he, like, slumps over because he's a doll. And Mrs. Brahms is like, oh my goodness, Brahms, sit up straight. You need to correct your posture. Oh, this young little lad.
Uh-huh.
I am trying to teach him, but you know how boys are. And Greta the whole time is like,
this bitch is crazy.
What is happening? So they're doing music appreciation, and Miss H is like, you have to turn up the music. He likes listening to this opera. And she, like, turns it all the way up. Totally, the music, like, overcomes her, and she, like, like, starts to, like, moan. It's weird. It's like, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's like that episode of, if you guys have seen The Office, with that dinner episode.
Oh my god, with
where
Jan's
playing the music on her record player.
Oh my god, yeah, she's listening to a mixtape that her intern made for her.
Uh-huh.
And she's, like, sensually dancing and, like, rubbing herself.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like some shitty mixtape.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, yeah, so then.
So that part's weird.
But yeah, that's a good one.
So then it cuts to them talking about dinner. And Mr. Hillshire says, okay, you're gonna, when you feed him, put the plate of food in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not gonna eat it.
Oh.
He's very stubborn and finicky about his food. But make
sure. Is that why he's not going to eat it?
Yeah. Make sure to put the leftovers away. It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just throw them out. So why is putting the leftovers so important for a doll?
So then Mr. H takes Greta out to the traps. They have a vermin problem, so you always have to empty the traps, like, every day.
Yeah, there's big rats.
Mm-hmm. Mr. H says the fireplace doesn't work. And the windows have been painted shut, so you can't use either of those things.
Yeah. So now at this point, the parents have gone over the whole list of things to do, how to take care of our boy, how to take care of Brahms.
Mm-hmm.
Now the parents want to speak with Brahms alone before they leave on vacation.
Yeah, they, like, slam the door shut in Greta's face.
They're like, we're going to speak to him alone. Slams the door.
So Greta's standing outside of the room for, like, 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, tries to listen in.
Yeah.
But they, like, open the door immediately. And then Mrs. H is like, Brahms accepts you. And she, like, hugs her. And she's like, oh, this is such a glorious day. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
So let's go in and do a prayer.
Yep. What is the prayer they do?
Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. God bless mommy, God bless daddy, God bless Greta, and God bless me. Amen.
Yeah, they do the prayer as if they are Brahms. They do it from his
perspective. Yeah, they say it like he's saying the prayer.
Yeah, God bless me, as if me is the boy.
So now we kind of flash forward. Greta is on the phone with somebody we assume is her sister, Sandy.
Yeah, they never make it clear.
They never say it. She's just on the phone with Sandy.
Yeah.
And she has multiple calls with Sandy throughout the film.
Mm-hmm.
So Greta's telling Sandy that, you know, this is so weird. It's a doll. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's not a real boy. And plus, turns out I have to watch him for a few months. I thought it was only going to be a few weeks.
Yeah. And Sandy is like, meh, get over it.
You're getting paid well. So
you need to stay. Because Cole came by. Greta's like, oh, don't tell him where I am. So yeah, we assume it's the ex-boyfriend.
Goes to the next day.
Yeah, Greta wakes up.
And you hear shit wrecking in the house.
Greta kind of creeps in to the hallway to see what's going on, and she kind of peers in, and Miss H is in there, like, scolding Brahms, who's just sitting in a chair, and she's like, oh, you nasty little boy, I can't believe that you did this, just wait until I tell your father, and she's, like, yelling at him.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. H sneaks up and scares Greta from behind, and he's just like, oh, sorry that we're a little bit behind today. We have been getting ready all morning.
Yep, we haven't been on vacation in so long. We're just a little frazzled right now.
Here's a list of rules. Read them when you can. Mm-hmm. Of course, Greta never touches the rule book.
Yeah, she's like, fuck this. It's a doll. What do you mean rules?
Yeah. We head downstairs. Mr. and Mrs. H are leaving. They got their luggage together. They're walking out the door. Mr. H gives Greta a cryptic warning. He says, be good to him, and he will be good to you. Be bad to him.
And then Mrs. Heelshire is like, oh, shush.
She'll be fine. Yeah, it'll be fine.
She's gonna be good to him.
Yeah.
So then it's like, you're leaving your babysitter with this weird-ass situation, and you're not gonna let him tell the warning?
Yeah, and then, so they're leaving, and Mrs. H hands Brahms over to Greta and whispers in her ear, I'm so sorry.
Right?
If you're gonna leave worried and say, I'm sorry, and leave cryptic rule books and notes and things, tell her what is going on.
Yeah.
Like, tell her he is real, the doll is alive, or whatever. Like, and I get it, like, they don't want to scare her away.
Yeah.
But still, if this girl is really the real deal, give her a warning,
man. Yeah, right? That's kind of fucked up to do.
Yeah, so they leave, and immediately Greta puts Brahms in, like, a little chair, and is like, no offense, Brahms, but you creep me out, and throws a blanket over him.
Yeah.
Pours herself a glass of wine, and then immediately takes a nap.
Yeah, well, she has, don't forget, she has a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, yeah, she makes herself a sandwich, has some wine. It just frustrates me, because it's like, why are you gonna pour a fresh glass of wine, not even your wine,
mm-hmm.
and then fall asleep? Yeah. You got a whole glass of wine in front of you. And then she just, like, curls up and takes a nap.
Right. Wasteful. She wakes up that evening, and she walks downstairs, and the blanket is now off of Brahms.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, it's the middle of the night, and it's dark, and yeah.
So then she's like, wow, that's fucking weird. So she picks up the doll and just chucks him into a chair in his bedroom.
Walks out, closes the door.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to bed and is awakened by the sound of, like, a child crying.
Yeah, it's a huge thunderstorm going on.
And you just hear, like...
Yeah.
She chooses to get up and go investigate.
Yes, the house is now just immediately covered in candles.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm guessing that maybe the electricity... I'm guessing. the electricity went out, but they never really showed that or said anything about it.
House is
just all in candles.
Right.
She's walking through this house, hearing this distant child cry.
Mm-hmm.
She creaks down the stairs, and she starts to stare at this painting.
Yeah, there's like a family portrait painting of Mr. and Mrs. Heelshire and Brahms when they're, like, Brahms is like an actual boy. He's not the doll.
Yeah.
And they are, like, really young, too. They're, like, 20, 30 some years old.
Yeah. She's looking at this painting, and she's, like, staring and focusing on Brahms' face.
Mm-hmm.
And then a jump scare that got Emily. The painting of Brahms reaches out and chokes her.
But it's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. She wakes up.
Greta wakes up.
But I will say that this is, like, the only CGI in the film, and it wasn't done very well.
Nah. But it was quick enough that, like, you wouldn't really notice it, I think.
I think that Emily was too scared to notice how bad it was.
Hmm.
That's just a personal opinion.
Whatever. So she wakes up, but she still hears the crying.
Yeah.
And she goes into Brahms' room, and the doll is sitting in the chair that she left him in, and there's a tear rolling down his cheek.
Yes. So she's a little freaked out, like, oh my god.
Oh my god, is this real?
Uh-huh.
She walks up, she wipes the tear, And another tear falls, but it's the leaky ceiling falling on his face.
Yeah, so it's not a real tear coming out of the doll. It's just a bad ceiling.
Yeah, and she's like, of course. How could I not see that? So the next day, Greta notices that there's an attic door.
Yeah.
She tries to take the little, what do you call it? Like a little stick with a hook on the end?
Yeah, it's like it's just an old school attic. It's like a ladder that you pull down from the ceiling.
Yeah. Well, what is it? Like, what's the stick called? There's got to be a name for it.
Hook stick.
Hook stick. Attic, I don't know. Attic stick. She takes the attic hook stick, tries to open it, but it's like locked.
Yeah.
So she's like, meh, whatever. So then Malcolm rolls up with some groceries. He continues to try to flirt with her. Greta asks what the story is with Brahms and the doll. And Malcolm tells her that Brahms died on his 8th birthday in a fire.
Yeah.
20 some years ago. And this doll kind of just like turned up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And nobody turned it away.
That's the story. That's how the city lore is. That's not the true story.
Yeah, that's what the townspeople say. Then Malcolm asks Greta on a date, and she's like, okay, I'll go on a date with you.
Mm-hmm.
So that night she's getting ready. She's on the phone with Sandy. She's picking out a dress. She's drinking some wine. She looks up and sees Brahms, the doll, staring at her from, like, across the hallway.
Yeah, like, he's laying in his bed with his head
twisted
towards her.
Yeah.
She's like, ugh, this doll is freaking weird.
Closes the door.
Mm-hmm.
Jumps in the shower.
While she's in the shower, you see, like, a little shadow kind of walk into the bathroom. And her dress falls off, like, slides off the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And her necklace gets pulled off of the sink.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, okay, this doll's up to something.
Yeah, the doll's, like, stealing her clothes while she's in the shower.
Yeah.
Typical jock move.
Right.
What a dick.
What a fucking perv. She's gonna have to leave here naked. So then she gets out of the shower. She's looking around like, where the fuck is my dress?
Oh, and she's like messing with her hair and she notices that it's been like cut.
Yeah.
At some place.
Yeah, her hair's been snipped like straight with a pair of scissors in a little chunk.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody cut her hair while she was asleep.
Yeah, and she's like looking around for her dress. And she can't find it. She leaves the room, and all of her stuff has been taken out of the room.
Yeah, all of her clothes are missing. Mm-hmm. So she's, like, forced to be naked.
Yeah, she's running through this house.
In this towel that is, like, expertly put on.
Yeah, okay. You're pretty good at your towel folds. Like, you can walk around and, like, have your towel on that's not falling down.
Yeah.
I can't do it to save my life. I have to be holding it. I can't twist it and tuck it. It falls off every goddamn time.
Yeah.
So when I'm watching Greta running through the house in her towel, I'm like, why is this not, like, falling off of her?
I know, she's not even holding it.
No, she's, like, doing sprints in it almost.
It's, like, super glued.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was impressed.
Yeah, this towel is on there.
So she hears a noise, a loud noise from the hallway, and she walks in and sees that the attic is open.
Yes. First thing you do if your attic is mysteriously open and you hear stuff going on up in it.
And don't forget, you've just gotten out of the shower.
Yeah, you're naked under your towel.
What would the first thing that you would do be?
You'd probably, since she's in London, dial 999. That's their 911.
No.
You call the cops.
She goes upstairs. She goes into the attic.
Yes, of course. She goes into the attic.
How? Like, why?
She's
a
white.
In your towel?
She's a white person in a scary movie.
Really, though.
Yeah. No, the smart thing to do would be to call the damn cops. She goes up into the damn attic in a mansion alone in a towel.
Yeah. She brings the attic hook stick with her.
Oh, she's got the hook stick.
What did you guys think was going to happen? Of course, while she's up there, the attic door shuts on her and she can't get out. She's locked in.
Yeah, Christmas Vacation style.
Yeah, and Malcolm rolls up to pick her up.
Mm-hmm.
She's looking out at this, like, the little vent in the attic at him.
This whole scene is like Christmas Vacation. She gets locked up in the attic. The staircase folds in, locks her in. Mm-hmm. And then she goes to the vent and yells at the dude outside.
Can't hear
him. Hey, I'm up in the attic. Help me.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, sorry. dude can't hear you. Malcolm is just waiting for her to come outside in her beautiful dress.
Yeah, he's knocking on the door. Nobody's coming. He waits there for about 20 to 25 seconds and then, like, turns around and starts walking back to the car.
Yeah, he just leaves.
You only waited there for not even a whole minute.
I know.
And you're already like, I guess she didn't want to come out after all. Yeah, bye.
It's a big-ass house.
Yeah, come on. And if you're the grocery guy and you, like, always come in through the kitchen door, don't you have a key or something?
Just come in and make sure everything's all right if she's not answering the door.
Especially if you know the story.
Yeah.
Because later on he's like, I didn't tell you the full truth. And it's like, okay, you know that something's going on in this house. You're close with this family. Use your key, get in, and go find her. No, he doesn't. He gets back in his truck and drives off.
Yeah. She's up in the attic, like, screaming, like, I'm up here! But then he's gone.
Yep.
So then she starts just wandering around the attic, trying to figure stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
She tries to unlock it again. It won't unlock. Won't budge.
Mm-hmm.
And she turns around. She walks towards the back of the attic, and she kind of starts to see something. So she, like, peers in, does a focus, kind of slow. Boom, jump scare. It's a lame jump scare. It's like a shadow.
Yeah, it looks like a dude standing there.
She falls, passes out naturally. When you get scared of a shadow, you're going to pass out.
Naturally.
Then it's the next day. Sky is clear. She wakes up in the attic, still in the towel. This thing's hanging on for dear life. And she starts to kind of peer through the attic, and she finds this box.
Mm-hmm.
Opens it up, and she finds a photo album inside.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts to go through it. She sees all these just baby pictures of how Brahms actually was a real boy.
Mm-hmm.
There's family photos in here, but the parents hid it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, but then they have photo, like, the portrait.
Yeah, they have paintings and portraits of him around. Why don't they just have real photos of him around?
Yeah, I don't know. Good question.
So then the attic opens up again, just randomly.
Mm-hmm.
The door opens for her.
Yeah, she goes down and she goes back into her room and all her clothes are back.
Yeah, but they're kind of like strewn around. They're not placed nicely.
No. They're like thrown all over the room.
Mm-hmm. Brahms got to have his fun and he messed with her.
Mm-hmm. So then Malcolm comes over again.
Yeah.
I think that it kind of just cuts to him like in the hallway and was like, well, it looks like you got stuck in the attic. Nobody's here. Nobody was here.
Yeah.
There's no way to get in. The windows are sealed, so...
There's a logical explanation for this.
Yeah. We get, like, a transitional glimpse of the rules.
Yeah, finally shows us the list of rules.
And I wrote them all down because, oh my god, this girl did not read this list.
Not at all.
Okay, so rule number one is no guests. Now, I wouldn't count Malcolm as a guest because he works there. Number two, never leave Brahms alone.
Yeah.
She broke that the very first fucking second she walked in that house.
Chucked him in a chair and threw a blanket over his head.
Mm-hmm. Save meals in the freezer.
Yes.
Number four is excellent. Never cover Brahms' face.
Exactly.
Oh.
Boom.
My God. Girl,
she broke three rules in the first 5 minutes.
If she even just glanced at the rules, she would know. Like, it was that easy. Number five, always read a bedtime story. Mm. Number six, play music loud. Number seven, clean the traps.
Yes.
Number eight, only Malcolm can deliver. So no Grubhub.
That's right.
Number nine, Brahms can never leave the grounds. Never take Brahms off site. And number 10, always give a kiss goodnight.
Always.
Every single night. Greta hasn't done 8 out of 10 of these things. She is not doing a very good job. So,
she's a terrible babysitter.
Brahms is pissed.
Yes, of course.
So, Malcolm and Greta are playing billiards, and she asks him, like, what was Brahms actually like? And Malcolm tells her a story of one night on Brahms' birthday, what was supposed to be Brahms' birthday. He was making a delivery. Mrs. H and Brahms were in the sitting room, and they were opening gifts.
Yeah.
And Mr. H was drunk in the billiard room.
Yeah.
Slurring his words, and he implores Malcolm to have a drink with him. At that point, they start talking about Brahms and what he was like as a child, and Mr. H says he was odd.
That's the only thing he describes him as.
Yeah.
Brahms was odd.
What could that mean?
But then also, the doll can hear what's going on. There's like old style, it's a really old house, so there's the servants' tubes kind of a system.
Is that what they're called?
I don't know.
Servants' tube.
The servant tube. So it's like this, just these brass tubes along the walls in the house and everything that people can talk through rooms to each other.
Yeah.
Using.
Right.
And
kind of like before intercom was a thing.
Yeah. So then the doll is sitting there listening through the tubes.
Yeah, he can hear everything that they're talking about.
Yeah.
So then Greta's on the phone with Sandy again. And, okay. Sandy is like, hey, by the way, Cole came around again, and Morgan gave him your address.
Who is Morgan?
Morgan is, well, we don't know. I think it's Sandy's son or daughter, but they're 10.
Yeah. Greta says, why would he give away my address? That's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sandy's like, well, he's 10. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
First off, you should probably tell your 10-year-old to not talk to Cole if he's an asshole. You know he's coming around.
Really, though. And then also, I don't know about you, but when I was 10, I didn't know what an address was. I didn't even know my own address. Like, I couldn't just be like, oh, she's at 675 Privet Drive in the UK in Brighton. I would never be able to tell.
Yeah.
Ever.
I know. How does a 10-year-old know the exact address of her?
Yeah.
Aunt.
Well, like aunt or whoever. And even, like, I mean, I knew what an address book was, but I wouldn't be able to tell you where it was in my house.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be like, let me go grab the address book real quick and I'll come right back. Like, 10. You're 10. Like, and where was Sandy to not let Morgan talk to Cole? Like, it's just unrealistic situation.
So now Cole has Greta's address.
Cole's got Greta's address. Greta's kind of like, fuck. All right. Well, moving on.
Well, he's probably not going to come out to England, so I guess I'm fine.
Well, I guess he's not going to come out here at all, ever.
Wink, wink, wink. So now it goes back to Greta in the shower again.
Mm-hmm.
She's just doing her thing. She gets out of the shower and she's drying off. And in the mirror, you can see behind her a little shadow running across the bathroom floor.
Yeah, she's like brushing her teeth, and when she like bends down to like spit, a shadow runs across the wall and it freaks her out.
Uh-huh. So then she goes to Brom's room just to see, like, is this dude fucking with me? What the hell's going on with this doll?
Mm-hmm.
So she goes into Brom's room and Brom is just staring at her, laying in bed the same way he has been this whole time. So she's kind of freaked out by it. So she turns his head away because it's like, I'm tired of this thing looking
like
at
me. She's like angry and she's like, turns his head kind of firmly away from her.
And then
immediately
jump scare, boom,
it looks right back at her.
It just looks right back at her and it scared the shit out of Emily.
Yeah, I think I might have like yelped.
Yeah, she did. It was funny.
It was so abrupt. I mean,
it was hilarious.
I expected it to move, like I expected this to happen, but it still got me.
Yeah, it sure freaking did, and it made me laugh. So it was another nightmare, by the way.
Yeah. So then Greta opens her bedroom door, and she sees her shoes that went missing at the beginning of the movie.
That's right, the OG shoes.
OG shoes.
Right at her bedroom door.
So she walks into Brom's room.
Brom is sitting upright, and the list of rules is right next to him.
Yeah.
And the music goes, meep. Like the violins.
Like psycho, like that.
Greta screams, she runs, slams her door, and locks it like she's terrified of this doll that's just sitting in this bed.
And then there's, like the camera is, like, warped and, like, changing colors.
Yeah.
And it's, like, flashing on Brom's face, and then it flashes on the rules, and then, and the scary music.
And they're trying to drum up this scene like it's terrifying, but it's just, if you're sitting on the outside watching, it's just a doll sitting on a bed. That's all this whole scene is. And it's supposed to be so fucking scary.
Yeah.
But it's just a doll sitting on a bed.
Yeah, so she locks herself in her room.
I was laughing so hard.
She tries to call somebody, but the phones are dead.
Mm-hmm.
But then it rings.
Yeah, so she answers the phone.
And it's Brahms on the other line, like, Greta, come play, Greta, pretty Greta. And she's like, leave me alone, what do you want from me? That just goes on, that happens like 3 times.
Yeah, Greta's getting hysterical here.
Yeah. So then we see under the door crack, like, a shadow walk up, and, like, a thing, like, scoot like a tray scoot under the door, and Brahms's voice is like, "Mama, please come out. I made you some dinner. I promise I'll be good." And she opens the door.
And it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Aww, Brahms.
Yeah.
So cute. And she goes into, she like puts the sandwich down and like kind of walks into Brahms's room and is like,
"I guess I have to follow the rules now. Wow, this is a trip."
Yeah, she's like still kind of freaked out, but you know, this, I mean, that's enough to
now for her,
switch
this is,
anybody over.
This is kind of like a sign from Jesus.
Yeah, she's like, "Okay, this is real.
Yep, this is real. Now I have to do everything he says, and I'm going to follow him devoutly."
Yeah.
And she's treating him like he's some special thing from God.
He is.
Yeah, so like for the majority of the film after this, she's like carrying him.
Talking to him.
Playing loud music, doing everything, treating him like a little boy.
Reading him stories, all mm-hmm. that stuff. So now we have a short scene in which we see Mr. and Mrs. Hillshire on vacation. And they're writing a letter to Brahms. And they're saying, like, we can't really read the letter. We just kind of see them writing it. And then this scene is totally quiet with some music playing in the background. We see them, they start walking out to, like, this lake or
it's bay. Like the beach or something.
Bay, beach. There's no sand.
Well, no, in England they have rocky beaches. They don't have sand.
I don't know shit beaches. About UK. I'm just saying, there's no sand. It's not like that kind of beach. It's like no. a rocky beach.
Yeah.
So they put rocks in their pockets.
Yeah, they start loading up their jacket pockets with big old rocks.
Oh, God. And they walk into the lake hand in hand, and...
And they drown themselves.
They kill themselves.
Because they do not want to go back. My thing is, if you don't want to go back, and you're loaded, and you live in this damn castle, just leave. Go retire. Be away. Go enjoy yourself
yeah,
for the
you
rest
don't
of your
have
life.
To kill yourself.
Exactly. You don't have to damn drown in a bay, lake, ocean thing, whatever the fuck.
Yeah. So these are our first two deaths. Deaths number one and two.
Yep, you kind of watch them drown.
You do watch them drown. And it's quite odd, because it's also like, okay, well then why not tell Greta in the beginning about Brahms? Like, if they had the plan that they were going to kill themselves to begin with, why not just tell Greta, "Oh, by the way,
this doll's haunted.
Weird shit, but we're going to go murder ourselves, and it's your responsibility now."
Yep.
Nope. I know why they wouldn't tell Greta. That sounds crazy, but...
Yeah, because she'd walk right out.
Yeah. Okay, so then we go back to the house. It's the next day. Greta wakes up Brahms. She puts him into some house clothes. She gets him some breakfast. They go through their whole day. They listen to loud music. She reads him some stories.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like the end of the day. And she puts him to bed, but she does not give him a kiss goodnight.
Yeah, she still feels a little weird about it.
Yeah, totally get it. I get it. That's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So then, again, it's the next day. Greta and Brahms are playing the piano together. And Malcolm walks in, and he says, "Oh, sorry, didn't mean to intrude. I tried knocking." Okay. So you tried knocking and decided to...
go into the house.
Where was that when you tried to pick her up for your date?
Right? Why didn't you go check on her then? You're gonna check on her now?
Yeah. Like, what? Okay. Like, come on. You obviously have a key or some way. Like, the front door wouldn't just be unlocked. But he's carrying the mail for the day, and...
And he brings groceries over.
Yeah, and we see him put down the mail, and it is the letter that we watched... Mr. and Mrs. H write for Brahms before they kill themselves.
Yeah.
But they kind of ignore it, and they just leave it there. Don't even notice it, actually.
Okay, so now they're chilling in the kitchen, and Malcolm's trying to flirt up his game again.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to ask Greta out for a second try. He's like, "Come on, let's go out on a date, girl."
Yeah, and she's like, "No, I really can't leave Brahms."
Yeah, now she's being weird about it.
She's like, "I'm being paid to stay here with Brahms, so I'm going to stay here with Brahms."
Yeah. So then Malcolm walks up and tries to talk for Brahms, and says,
"Brahms could use some alone time, right, Brahms?" "Oh, yes, I could. I want to take a bath and play some piano and be by myself for a while. Have some good old Brahms time."
Yeah, he's kind of just mouthing this stuff for him, and Greta's like, "Eh, it sounds fun, but no, I got to do this."
Yeah.
So Malcolm says, all right, fine, I guess you've gone off the deep end. He doesn't say it, but it's pretty much how the scene is going.
Yeah, he kind of is like, all right, crazy, and then leaves.
So then Greta's peeling a pear, gives it to Brahms, and is like, all right, be real with me now. Is there a spirit in this house? Talk to me, Brahms. Do something. But Brahms doesn't do anything because he's a doll. F this, takes the pear, throws it away, and then you hear a scuffle in the kitchen. And then it's supposed to be a jump scare, I think, maybe? No? You wouldn't say
I so? I don't think so, because she just turns around and Brahms isn't in the chair that...
Yeah, now Brahms is gone the moment she throws the pear away.
Yeah, but there's no, like, loud music or anything to, like, try to scare you. He's just gone.
Yeah.
And she runs over, and he's... All that happened is that he's just behind the wall.
In the hall behind the wall.
With a fox on a box. So then she calls Malcolm again, and she's like, get your ass over here. I need to show you something. Malcolm comes over, and she's trying to prove to Malcolm that he's been moving.
Yeah, he's real.
And she's a little psycho. She's like, this sounds really crazy, but he moves. And look, I have this chalk, and this happens. And if I go over here, and I knock on this wall a couple times, then and I go back, then he's gone, and I can't... He's always in a different place. And she's like, kind of... She's just kind of crazy right now.
Yeah.
And Malcolm's like, slow the fuck down. Let's talk about this.
So then she's like, no, I have this test. Here, come here. So then she sets him on a wood floor, and she takes the chalk, and she draws it around him. She's like, okay, we're going to leave the room, and he's going to move.
So she does the test. They go back into the room, and Brahms is still in the same exact place.
Mm-hmm. So then she, like, no, we're going to do this. Just believe me, we're going to do it one more time.
Yeah, she, like, runs up to the doll and is like, hey, can you please just move for me this one last time, please?
I just need someone else to know this so I know I'm not crazy.
Yeah. They do it again. They go into the next room. She knocks on the wall. They go back, and Brahms isn't there.
Yeah.
They, like, celebrate and hug.
Yeah.
He's like, so where is he? And Greta's like, I don't know. He's in a new place every time. And they turn around, and he's, like, just kind of behind the door. And she's like, well, we've never been there before. That's weird.
So now Greta starts to talk about her past that she used to have. About how she left Cole.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets into the nitty-gritty. And she says, okay, the reason I ran away from my home was because my ex had been abusing me. And I kept believing that he would get better. But then I got pregnant. And there was one night where he beat me so bad that I had a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm. So then Malcolm says, oh yeah, that's messed up, girl. Let me smooch ya.
Before they get to have a good night, Greta's like, hold on, let me put Brahms to bed. So she goes, she does her little prayer.
Mm-hmm.
This time she actually kisses him goodnight.
Yeah, and says, be a good boy, I'll see you in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And then they go back into Greta's room, and they're flirting with each other. You can tell that they're about to, like, get down.
Yeah, she goes, I like your shirt.
And he's like, thanks, my mom bought it for me.
Which is, you definitely bring up your mom before you're about to
get down
with a lady.
That's right, you bring up your mom, and not only once, but twice. She says, well, it's a really nice one. And he says, remind me to thank my mom later.
So stop then talking about your mom while you're making out with a hot girl.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
So then it appears as though Brahms is peeping in through the keyhole. And he's perving it up. He's like, oh yeah, about to see some Greta titties.
No, he's like watching them and...
he's pissed off.
Yeah, he's fucking mad. And they start to kiss. They're like rolling around. And then music from the sitting room starts to boom through the house.
Yeah.
Greta jumps up and runs out there. And Brahms is sitting next to the stereo that's going off. And she's like, what the hell, Brahms? That's bad, bad boy. I told you to go to bed.
Yeah. She acted the heck out of this thing as well as she could.
Mm-hmm.
She had to have a relationship with a doll for this whole movie, so good for her.
Yeah, she did a pretty good job. So she puts Brahms back to bed, and then her and Malcolm are talking.
Yeah, they decide not to do the dirty because apparently that's what pissed off the doll.
Yeah, so Malcolm tells Greta that there was a little girl named Emily who used to come around and play with Brahms when he was alive.
Yeah, this is the old story of what Brahms was.
Yeah, but she was found dead with her head smashed in the forest. And the same day that they found the body of the little girl, they were going to go talk to the Mr. and Mrs. Heelshire about it. And when they got there, the house was on fire.
Yeah.
So
apparently, yeah, that same night, Brahms died in the fire.
Yeah. So Malcolm says, Greta, you need to get out of here.
If that doll is living, then it's a bad spirit.
So then she's like, no, I'm just going to stay. I'll see you next time.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm walks out of the door, and Greta goes back into the attic to look through some more pictures, and she finds images of Emily and Brahms.
Yeah, little play date going on.
Mm-hmm. The next day, Greta takes Brahms out to the traps, and they're emptying the traps together.
Yeah.
They walk back in the house, and they hear some billiards.
Yeah, they hear the pool table going.
Yeah. And she's like, Malcolm, are you here? She walks into the billiard room, and who is it?
It is her abusive ex-boyfriend, Cole.
Playing
pool.
Cole is in the house?
He made his way all the way to the UK.
And let himself in. And he's like, who's Malcolm? Hi, Greta. Nice to see you. And she kind of starts, obviously, getting freaked out. And she's like, what are you doing here? What's going on? And Cole is like, you're going to come home with me tomorrow.
And you're not going to run anymore. And I won't let you leave.
At this point, Malcolm walks in. She's like, this is Malcolm.
He's just the grocery boy.
He's the grocery guy. Let's go talk about this week's groceries. And they leave the room.
They leave Cole in the billiard room.
Greta and Malcolm are talking, and Malcolm's saying, you know, you can't let him stay here. Do you need help? Should I call somebody? How can I help you? And Greta's like, nah, I got it. I can handle this.
Yeah.
I got this. I'm not going to let him stay the night. He's not going to be here much longer. It's okay. You can leave. So Malcolm's like, okay. But he doesn't actually leave. He just goes and sits in his car.
He's waiting in his car to make sure Cole doesn't start shit and tries to kill her. So good on you, Malcolm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Greta says, I'm not going to let him stay. But then we shoot up to nighttime, and she's like getting in pillows and blankets and stuff to stay. And she's got Brahms the whole time, and Cole grabs her and says, I'm not letting you go, so be packed tomorrow morning.
Yeah. You're going to be on this flight. I bought you a ticket already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Greta's freaked out, and she says, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. And she goes up and gets into bed with Brahms, and she's holding the doll, and she says, I'm not going to leave you. Don't worry, but I need your help to get rid of Cole.
Yeah. So she recruits the spirit of the doll to fuck with Cole.
Yeah, so Cole wakes up in the middle of the night to some blood dripping on his forehead, and he gets up and sees the words get out have been written on the wall above him where he's sleeping.
And supposedly rat blood, because there's also dead rats in his bag.
Now. Yeah. So Cole is like, Greta, get down here! And Greta like opens her eyes, and Brahms is gone. The doll's gone from next to her. And she's like, oh fuck, what happens? She runs downstairs. Cole grabs her, and he's like, what the fuck is this? Is this your way of meh meh meh? What the hell is this? Tell me what this is. Should I be worried about Malcolm? Is this Malcolm? What the fuck happened? Like, he's totally just like...
he's lost it.
Losing it, grabbing her, pulling her around. And she's like, no, I didn't do this. It was Brahms. I'm supposed to believe a doll did this? Meh, meh. Malcolm runs in because
he hears Cole yelling, yeah.
Yeah, so he wakes up from inside of his car and runs in. At this point, Cole grabs the doll out of Greta's hands and is, like, waving Brahms around.
Uh-huh. And everyone's like, don't touch the doll. Don't do this to the doll.
Malcolm's in there trying to de-escalate the situation.
Only kind of making it worse, though. Cole's like, oh, so you like this doll more than you like me, huh? Well, guess what I'm going to do to this doll? And he takes it, swings it by the legs, and he smashes Brahms' head in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And the porcelain goes flying everywhere.
Yep. And it's at this very moment we hear the attic door fall.
Uh-huh.
The stairs come down.
You hear shit moving, like the house just kind of comes alive.
Mm-hmm. But Cole, like, runs up to a mirror and is, like, he's, like, listening into the mirror.
Yeah, because it sounds like all this noise is coming from in the walls.
Yeah, so he, like, runs up.
And then out of nowhere, the mirror just smashes open, throws Cole on his back.
And A man emerges
from inside of the walls.
He's wearing a mask.
A mask shaped just like the porcelain doll Brahms.
He jumps out and he takes a piece of the mirror and stabs Cole right in the throat.
Yep, kills Cole dead right there. Boom. At this point, it's like...
Okay.
Breakdown.
Brahms is still alive?
Brahms is the person.
Yeah, Brahms is the guy.
The doll was never living.
No, it was always Brahms moving the doll around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the man version of Brahms.
Yeah, so the man had been manipulating this doll this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Now the rules kind of make sense. Like, that's why you should leave food in the freezer for him.
Mm-hmm.
So everything kind of starts to click.
Yeah, also like cleaning the traps so that there's no rats in the walls. Man Brahms is living in the walls.
Yep, fully grown, 6'2" man Brahms.
Oh, he's a big guy.
Total neck beard pushing out the bottom of this doll mask.
Yeah, he's kind of sexy.
He's got a sexy body. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, he's
that.
Like pumped too. Yeah, it's like
dude, yeah, it's like
pumps iron in the walls all day.
He just does push-ups while he's in there because what else are you gonna do?
Yeah, he's got like a hairy chest and stuff too.
Oh yeah, this dude's like DTF.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So then he like stares at Malcolm and Greta and they just freak out.
Yeah, they start running through the house.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere they turn, Brahms is like in front of them.
Yeah, because Brahms knows the insides of the walls really well, of course.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of shortcuts. So they run upstairs.
Which is smart. Yeah, run upstairs, not out the front door. Let's run upstairs.
Yeah. And they go and lock themselves in Greta's room.
So now Brahms is, like, trying to kick in the door. Mm-hmm. And Malcolm and Greta find this little crawl space. And they go through it to find their way into the halls between the walls.
The hall walls.
Yep, the halls between the walls.
Wall halls.
Yep. So they're back in the crawl spaces. And they are, for some reason, they just keep climbing up and up and up. And they're, like, almost to the chimney.
Yeah, it's like their idea is to go through the chimney at first, but then they come across, like, this room. There's, like, a bed, a refrigerator, all kinds of stuff up there.
Yeah, so basically they find themselves in Brahms' living quarters.
Yeah, and Greta walks over to his bed and sees, like, a life-size pillow doll with the dress she was going to wear on her date.
Oh, yeah, the dress she stole and the necklace.
And her hair is, like, taped to it, too.
Yeah.
And she sees the note that was written, the letter that was written for Brahms from his parents. And it says, "We're not going to come home, but the girl is yours to take care of."
Yeah. When they were originally writing the letter, I thought it was to her.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be for Greta saying.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, saying, "Sorry, we aren't coming home. Just take care of the doll and the house is yours." That's kind of what I thought they were alluding to, but it says no.
No, no, no.
You are going to take care of Greta.
Yeah, it's for Brahms.
So they knew that they had a crazy-ass kid living in their walls.
They knew. They had to have known.
Yeah.
They had to have known, and it makes sense with, like, the little girl showing up dead, why they would, like, keep him secret in the walls.
Because they don't want him to go to prison for murdering this little girl.
Yeah.
They're trying to protect their little boy.
Yeah. Malcolm and Greta keep running through the wall halls. Brahms runs up behind them and they find this little door that they're like going to try to get out of.
Yeah.
But it's like locked and they have to like push it open. So Malcolm runs at Brahms as like a distraction for Greta to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And they start to fight. And eventually, Brahms ends up knocking Malcolm out.
Yeah, because Brahms is ripped.
Yeah, he's a big guy. And then he's like, Brahms knocks out Malcolm, and then Greta's like frantically trying to escape. And Brahms looks at Greta and is like,
"Greta, it's okay. Can you please come here?
Greta, please." And he like turns into
a
man.
His voice gets deep. He's like, "Greta, come here."
And then, like, she gets away, and he's yelling out of this door, like, "If you leave, I'll kill him!" And it is at this exact moment that I realized this movie is just a Phantom of the Opera remake.
Yeah. It's got notes of Phantom. It also has notes of Christmas Vacation.
It's Phantom of the Opera. Think about it. It's a girl, a young girl, who is beautiful and naive, and she is in this weird relationship with something that lives in the walls, and it's like a spirit. Yeah. As far as she thinks, she's like, oh, it's a spirit.
Yeah.
It's actually a full-grown man that wears a mask.
True.
And is jealous of her work boyfriend.
Yeah, and probably has a deformity under the mask because of the fire. So.
Which he does.
This, Emily, I think you're correct.
Good I am.
Point. That is,
I am very
this
correct.
This is Phantom of the Opera without the music.
Yes, it is. So Greta runs away, but she decides to go back to the house because she wants to save Malcolm.
Yeah. She walks in the front door very quietly and grabs a screwdriver from the front table.
Oh, yeah. And, like, puts it in her pocket. Yeah. And she's met by Brahms, who, like, stands really, like,
he gets
six inches away from her face.
Yeah, so he just casts aside all rules, all pretending to be a doll. Now he's like, I'm in love with this woman, and I'm gonna just get in her face.
Yeah.
And now she's mine.
Yeah, and Greta looks at him and just says, Brahms, time for bed.
Yeah.
And he, like, kind of, like, puts his guard down and he's like, what? You're not afraid of me? And she's like, I told you I was gonna stay, but you need to follow the rules. It's time for bed. Go on.
Get upstairs, mister.
And he, like, tries to, like, creep into her and she's like, Brahms, now!
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So, like, he, like, scuffles upstairs. She tucks him into bed.
She says, no story, it's your punishment. And then he says, but you have to give me my kiss.
Well, he doesn't say that. He just goes, kiss.
No, he, like, grabs her and says, kiss.
And she's like, Brahms, bedtime. And he's like, kiss. So then she's like, all right, I'm just going to go in for a little smoochums. And he, like, with his mask on, is, like, trying to, like, touch lips with her. And he's, like, really trying to kiss her.
And he gets super handsy here.
Yeah, he, like, starts grabbing her.
Uh-huh.
Greta takes out the screwdriver and stabs him in the stomach.
Yep. So he gets pissed off. He just took a screwdriver to the gut.
Yeah, he jumps up and, like, grabs her by the neck and starts choking her out.
Yeah, he lifts her up off the ground with by her throat.
Greta's able to grab the screwdriver and, like, start kind of, like, going
wiggling
deeper.
It around. Yeah.
Yeah, she, like, starts kind of shanking him a little more. He falls to the ground. And she takes this opportunity to go back into the wall halls and get Malcolm.
Yeah, and they escape.
Yeah, they start driving out of the, off the property.
Yeah. Thanks to Greta's bravery, she saves Malcolm.
And herself.
She subdues the boy. I'm just gonna say it. Thank God Cole is dead.
Yeah, that guy deserved to die.
He's a piece of shit. And they leave. And then it kind of flashes back into the house. I'm assuming a couple months later. It shows that the doll has been repaired by, I would assume, Brahms.
Yeah, I would assume so as well.
So he's still alive.
And so is the doll.
And so is the doll.
And that is the end of that movie.
Yeah, credits roll. So this movie was pretty interesting, I would say, actually.
Yeah, I would agree. I was more interested in this movie than the last two that we've watched.
Oh, yeah. It's not scary. I was laughing.
Yeah, it's not too scary at all. What would you rate this movie?
On a letter grade?
Yeah, on a letter grade. Not based on scariness, just like as the movie as a whole.
I would give it a C-.
Okay.
It's not a bad film. There's no gore, really. It wasn't scary. Nothing scared me jump scare-wise, either. The plot line was fun.
I would agree with you. I'd give it a C- as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was really interested in the story. I would agree, though, with one of the Rotten Tomato reviewers before, that it had a lot of potential that it didn't really live up to.
Yeah.
But, I mean, throughout the movie, I was, like, trying to guess what was going to happen, and I was wrong every time. I didn't see this coming. So it is a little bit soft. It's a little soft, but
a little cliche.
So, do you think that, would you recommend this movie?
I would recommend it on an interest basis.
I would recommend it for, like, if you and your significant other are going to sit down and you, like, want to make some popcorn and snuggle up and watch, like, a quote-unquote scary movie, but you're not trying to, like, like, be terrified. You just kind of want a good, like, thrilling movie to hang out and watch.
Yeah.
Like a Netflix and chill type situation. Wink, wink. I would suggest that this movie is good.
Yeah, that's a good recommendation. I would also go and say that this movie does not deserve the horror tag that it's under. This is just pure thriller. That's
it. Yeah, it is.
So, eh.
Not a horror movie at all.
Not at all.
All right, so if you like that episode, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts at this point. We're on, you know, Breaker, Radio Public, CastBox, Spotify, wherever you listen. If you liked us, give us a good review.
Give us a thumbs up.
Give us something. If you didn't like us, go ahead and email us.
Yeah, email us at scarcelyscary@gmail.com, mm-hmm. or you can find our subreddit at r/scarcelyscary.
You can also find us on Instagram as Scarcely Scary.
Indeed.
One of these days I'll make a Twitter.
Yep.
Not yet, though.
Not yet.
I've never had a Twitter, so I'm, like, kind of putting it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you liked that episode, then you can tune in next week when we will be watching...
Head Count.
Yeah. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. So, if you would like to follow along... and you don't want it spoiled for you, go ahead and watch that film, or you can let it be spoiled for you. It's probably not worth the watch anyways.
Probably not.
So you might as well let us ruin it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, with that being said, we will see you guys next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. And remember, if you ever have to babysit a doll, make sure you read the damn rules.
Oh my god, just do it. It's not that hard.
Please. Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.